Let me start with a passage from the back of the book Legendary Locals of Gallup, publishing on July 31st. Geography has conspired to make Gallup, New Mexico, a special place with unique people and a colorful history. It has been a place of struggle and extremes where cultures have clashed, mixed, and melded. Gallup is a community that is simultaneously challenging and uplifting, heartrending, and redemptive. To local Native Americans, the Navajo and Pueblo people, Gallup is located on their ancestral homeland and bordered by their sacred sites. To early settlers, Gallup was a place that permitted transportation across the continent, first by foot and horseback, then by stagecoach and railroad, and ultimately by America's mother road, Route 66. With its founding, Gallup became a place where European, Asian, and Hispanic immigrants with hands that built America came to construct a transcontinental rail line, harvest timber, mine coal, and establish businesses while seeking a new life among the region's original native people. I'm here with the authors, Elizabeth Harden Barola, Carol Sereth, and Bob Rosebrewer. They will be present at book signings scheduled for Monday, August 7th, from 6:30 until 8 p.m. at Octavia Flynn Public Library's meeting room, Tuesday, August 8th, from 6 until 9 at Art 123 Gallery in Gallup, Wednesday, August 9th, ceremonial preview night in the exhibit hall at Red Rock State Park from 6 until 9 p.m., and Saturday, August 12th, during Arts Crawl from 7 until 9 p.m. at Art 123 Gallery in Gallup. What went into bringing this project together?
I guess I'll start because I was the first person in the project. Arcadia contacted me because this is a book series that they have offered across the United States, and they have approached writers in communities across the country to write a book like this about their own community. So somehow they got my name, most likely from my work with the Gallup Independent, and they asked me if I would be willing to write this book. And I contemplated for quite a while and just felt like I was interested, but I didn't want to do it by myself. And so I asked Bob if he would join me because of his work with the Gallup Journey, and I had read his columns every month, and I realized that he was very interested in the people of Gallup and their stories and their histories. So then he joined, and we did a lot of initial work, sort of planning the book and brainstorming people, but we still weren't quite moving forward, so we felt like we needed a third person to sort of divide up the work and keep us on our deadline. And so then we invited Carol, and she considered again, and she joined us, and she helped definitely move us along towards the deadline so we could complete it.
I'm somewhat familiar with your work, Elizabeth. You've been a journalist for some time.
17 years.
And, of course, Bob has been a regular contributor to Gallup Journey, among other things. Carol, you've also had publications related to education in the past.
Just one book with lesson plans a very, very long time ago. So I never considered myself a writer, and this project definitely pushed me outside of my comfort zone.
Which might be a good thing.
It was, absolutely.
In reading through the book, it was very clear that all of you have an interest in the history of the region, and all of you felt that there were a lot of people that you could have mentioned, but there just wasn't room or time to do that. So in putting this work together, were you principally trying to get a good representation of the sorts of personalities involved in making Gallup and the Gallup area what it is today?
I think that from the outset, Elizabeth articulated a goal, which was to represent the diversity of the community, both among the cultures and races and genders. And I think that was one of the primary benefits of having three co-authors is that it resulted in a book that I think is more representative and more diverse than perhaps if any one of us had done it on our own.
One of the things that occurred to me as I was looking through this is, you know, this is a coffee table book, but it's not a big format book. Was that ever a discussion?
No, we haven't. It isn't a coffee table book in terms of what that means to me is one that's primarily large photographs and almost exclusively visual. This is a, I think, kind of a blend between a normal book and a coffee table book in terms of there's a real emphasis on the photographs. And that's a big part of this project has been collecting the photographs that both Carol and Elizabeth did the lion's share of. And the contributions of the Gallup Independent and to a lesser extent the Gallup Journey and Chuck Van Drunen helped with that. But I think it's a distinctive aspect of the book that we've done is the images, and in comparison to images from other books from other communities, I think the sampling of images is and photographs is fairly remarkable and much better than I think we've seen from the other books in New Mexico, like Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and Las Cruces.
I would add that, yeah, I never thought of it as a coffee table book. I really hope people will read it from beginning to end, because we really tried to include, even though the profiles are very brief, and that was a frustrating aspect for all of us, because we all could have written so much more about every person, but we all learn so much, and so we tried to include information that people would not normally know, even if they've lived here all their lives. And I've used this example before, but a friend of mine who came here in the early 70s, worked here all these years, he read through part of it in the beginning stages, and he was just so surprised that there was all sorts of information that he had never even heard about these people. And so, you know, I really do hope people will not just pick and choose the profiles, but I hope they'll actually read from start to finish, because I think they'll learn a whole lot about their community that they did not even know.
But it is a coffee table book in a way that even if you do read it from start to finish, you will go back, I think you will go back and look at it again and again and read different profiles and learn over more things about the different people. I think you can read it once and read it over and see different photos again. And I would like to mention that we did get a number of photos from the Octavia Fallon Public Library and from the city of Gallup as well. So the photos are a big part of it, and we were frustrated that we couldn't put more information in each, just about all of the profiles, because we were limited in the amount of words that we could use.
And while we're on the topic of frustrations, that's the other frustration is that if given our own choice, we would have, you know, there would have been perhaps three times as many people profiled. The limitation by the publisher was to have 140 profiles, and that was challenging to narrow it to that. There's a lot of, each of us has a list of folks that we thought were deserving and wanted to include and were not able to include.
I was looking over the acknowledgments of the book. You mentioned the contributions of the Independent, Gallup Journey, etc. But aside from the people who gave of their time to share their stories, who are some other people that stand out as helping with the research or compilation of materials for this book?
We got some of the photos from the Palace of the Governors in Santa Fe. I'm thinking also one of the limitations is that we weren't able to include people because we couldn't find photos. So that was another one of the frustrations, because for some people, we wanted to include them and we weren't able to find a photograph.
Martin Link was mentioned. He's an area historian.
He's in there. He was a very difficult person to find a photograph of. I actually had to go in and photograph him. So he was one person who didn't have readily available photograph.
Which is sort of amusing because he's such a public person and he's involved in so many things. And he's been written about in the Gallup Independent probably more than 100 times in his life. But Carol and I just struggled to find a photo, and that was really odd.
They were there, but they just weren't ones that we thought would be the best to include in the book. So,
as the authors of the book, it's difficult to include yourselves, but I might point out that all of you have interesting histories that would certainly be deserving of recognition.
Well, I don't know about me and Carol. I think Bob, as a former mayor, might, but yes. I don't know about Carol and I. One person I would like to add in terms of helping us is Carla Rivera.
Rivera. Yeah.
Yes, who works for Bob.
Yes.
She was our go-to person who handled faxes and shippings and emails and scanning. And I mean, Carol did the majority of scanning of photographs, but anytime we needed any kind of office assistant, Carla was extremely helpful and she made our life much easier.
Now, was the decision to go with black and white photos and print throughout in part just to make sure that it was consistent throughout, given that many historical photographs were black and white?
That's just the format of the publisher. If you look at all their books from their series, that's just how they do it.
I see. In approaching those subjects that were willing to talk to you here in town, what were some of the things that that you thought about as you were determining who to approach, how to make these interview segments happen?
I think we had to hash that out a lot between ourselves in terms of trying to come up with a group of folks that are diverse and trying to balance the book between historic figures and current members of the community. I guess one of the things I'd say, it was a challenge, but it was, as writers, we had just so many different historical figures and current members of the community to choose from, that from that perspective, it was good. It was, there's just have been and are so many interesting people in Gallup. And our history, you mentioned Martin Link, we've had many historians in Gallup, Martin Link, Sally Noe, Ernie Bulow, and others. And part of that is just the richness of our history. We have a truly remarkable history here.
Personalities throughout the history of a region would include everyone from saints to community builders to rapscallions. So in looking through the history, we don't have to talk about anybody living, but, who are some of the more interesting personalities that you might like to just touch upon?
Well, one person I discovered, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, would be the attorney who came to Gallup in the 1930s to defend the miners. The striking miners, and here, Bob's going to find it for me. I believe his name is David Levinson, but...
Oh, you're right. Well, I thought you were referring to A.T. Hanna, but yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, A.T. Hanna is another one.
Yeah.
Bob can talk about him. Yeah, David Levinson, he was from Philadelphia, and he was an activist attorney who came to represent the striking miners in the 1930s. And I really didn't know much about that history, and I sort of stumbled across it on the internet while I was doing some research. And then, oddly enough, on eBay, I stumbled across a photo of him. Someone had a collection of old news photographs from the 1930s, so I purchased the one of him. And he came out here, and he was kidnapped by a group of men with sacks over his head. He was taken out to the reservation, beaten up, tied up, left. And a Navajo man discovered him and his companion the next day and took him to the hospital in Tohatchee, and caused headlines all across the country. Local law enforcement accused him of making up the whole story. The governor had to hire guards to guard him while he was working. So I just found that to be a very fascinating story. Then there's Dan Du Bois, who, you know, was a traitor, and I wish we could have written more about him, but there is a book in town written by a local author on his life. But yeah, Bob can talk more about the other attorney.
A.T. Hannett was a two-term mayor who moved to Gallup from New York, and he was elected, I believe the first time, by 22 votes, and then 2 years later was reelected during a period of time when there were coal strikes. And he was a Democrat, and he sided with the coal miners, the workers in the strikes, and it was a period of great controversy. There were there's a time when there was an effort to bring in the National Guard to declare martial law by the governor of New Mexico in Gallup during coal strikes. And that was kind of an ongoing episodic part of Gallup's early history, not only in the 20s, but also later and more violently in the early 30s. I think there is one other historian that should be mentioned is Gary Stewart, who grew up in Gallup and became a prominent lawyer in Phoenix, Arizona, and now is a part-time professor at Arizona State University. Gary's now in his 70s. He also teaches creative writing for Arizona State, and he's written a couple of history books or books about Gallup's history, both the 1935 coal riot that resulted in the death of Sheriff Mac Carmichael, and then the 1973 kidnapping of Mayor Emmett Garcia by Larry Kasuz. And both of those novels were written, as a novel as opposed to pure history. But Stewart kind of exhaustively researched the history. I guess I don't want to go too far on that, but it illustrates kind of the interesting and nature of the history that we had to explore here.
If we look at the history of the United States and the relationships between European settlers and colonizers and the indigenous peoples or people from other lands, there's a mix of what we might term oppressors and people who were allies or helpers. And we see that here in Gallup. You want to talk a little about some of those folks that might be mentioned?
Well, that's the American history and history in general, the conflict between haves and have-nots. And that's certainly Gallup's history, and to an extent will continue to be our history. That's an age-old conflict that has not been resolved. And we've had plenty of it here in Gallup.
Bob, as an attorney yourself, did you have a particular interest in some of the historical figures involved with the law and politics?
Oh, I'm fascinated with all of Gallup's history. The things we've talked about, the coal riot of 35 is fascinating to me, the episode between Mayor Garcia and Larry Kasuz, both of which I have great sympathy for, both sides of that conflict. And beyond that, the thing I would shift to here is Elizabeth from the outset set an aspiration of diversity in every respect, both culturally and on a gender basis. And when I read the book, you know, there were so many profiles and stories that me as a co-author that I did not know about that Carol and Elizabeth contributed from people that I never didn't know about and wouldn't have thought about profiling. So I've enjoyed reading it, just as I think other people, if you have an interest in Gallup's history and its people, I think it's fair to say you will enjoy this book.
I would like to add that Bob wrote the profiles on Mayor Emmett Frank Garcia and on Larry Kasuth. And last week we were meeting and Carol and I were talking to him about it. And we were sharing that although we, you know, knew the basics of that story, that was a few years before I got here. I just felt like his profiles were so good because, as he just said, he's very sympathetic to both men. And I think that really comes through in the profiles. You really understand, you know, the background of both men, all the sort of factors that were playing into the situation. And I think they both do come out very sympathetic as human beings really struggling with some very difficult things in their lives. And it put them on a collision course. And I just was very impressed with those profiles. And I think other people in Gallup will benefit from reading them.
Carol, as someone who's been involved with education over many years, who's been involved in many organizations, were there particular people that you were really motivated to include in the book, such as Octavia Fallon, such as Henry Chi Dodge, for example?
Well, I think everybody would have liked a chance to write about Octavia. I was just lucky enough to be able to do that. She's on the cover. She's important to everybody. Henry Chi Dodge is in there. Some people who are new to the community always ask, well, who was he anyway? His story is incredible. He was orphaned as a young boy. He ended up on the Long Walk without parents. He was adopted. He became an interpreter. He became the first chairman of the Navajo tribe. He became a very successful trader and businessman and rancher. And so there's a lot to learn about him. His children were successful. He built a house in town for one of his sons. His daughter is Annie Dodge Juanica. So learning his story was, learning so much about different people was just fascinating for me, but also learning about a lot of the contemporary people. So I was really lucky to be able to interview Kenji Kawano, who became the first photographer for the Code Talkers. I learned an awful lot about the Code Talkers that I didn't know, and by extension, an awful lot about the war. I didn't know very much about what happened when the Code Talkers came back and they still didn't have the right to vote. Navajos didn't have the right to vote in New Mexico when they came back. So all kinds of fascinating information. I think people will learn. I hope they'll learn as much as I did. I think I was completely uninformed about lots of things.
I would like to add a comment about Octavia. All three of us are huge Octavia Fallon fans. We just love her. And I think most anybody in Gallup who knew Octavia feels the same. She's just one of the most beloved figures in Gallup. But I would say that I've been told by people that Octavia, when she died, was actually in the process of writing a book about Gallup's history and Gallup's people. And you know, I have no idea how far she'd gone, what her goals were with the book. I know I talked to her brother, and he said that after her death, he returned all those photos back to the families that she had borrowed the photos from. And my heart just sort of sank. It's like, oh, I would have loved to have read Octavia's book.
I think that when we're talking about some key figures, the fact is that some people may stand out, but virtually everyone you mention in your book have had an effect on Gallup, whether along the avenue of education, literacy, arts, or politics, history, race relations. If you were looking at the overview, if you were giving the elevator speech, disregarding that paragraph that I read, what's the elevator speech for this book?
I would say that it is, I think that Gallup, it has been a place of struggle. It's a place where different cultures have shared space and collided and clashed at times. Gallup, in some ways, epitomizes what's called New Mexico's tricultural heritage. Of course, it's a place occupied both by Pueblo Indians and Navajos, and then by Hispanic settlers coming up from Mexico with Spanish origins, and then the Northern European Americans coming in with the Army of the West in 1848, and then sprinkle into that just the Asian cultures, the Asian people who came here to work, Japanese and Chinese, and Greeks, the Southern and Eastern Europeans, and it's just a remarkable blend of people with different desires, and it's hard to imagine a place. It's, sometimes in Gallup, it's just stranger than fiction and more compelling than fiction.
Gallup's never going to be accused of being Pleasantville. I mean, it's a pretty rocky place. But I think that's what makes it such a vibrant place. But yeah, like Bob said, in our history, it's just been full of clashes and conflict. But on the other hand, we also come together in a pretty cool way that you don't see, like, say, if you look at other Navajo Nation border towns. I've lived in Farmington. I've lived in Flagstaff. I've spent some time in Page and Holbrook and Winslow. I'd pick Gallup any day. I think our cultures really do work together, as flawed as it is, I think better than, say, other communities.
I think these people can make everyone who lives here proud of Gallup. I think that was part of our intention, to say, wow, look at the people past and present.
Rachel, a couple of other things about the book I think that are noteworthy. One is, when we say Gallup, we mean Gallup in the broader sense.
Yes.
That this is really a regional topic, that there's, we have a couple of profiles of people from Zuni, of course, Navajo Nation, and it really is the Gallup area that's being profiled by this book. And other interesting thing that we've done, that other communities have done with their books, is also to include profiles on kind of prominent people who've had an impact on Gallup from outside, such as Bob Dylan, who fictitiously claimed to be from Gallup, from Tony Hillerman, who worked with a lot of folks in Gallup in writing his novels and wrote about the area. And another example, of course, would be Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa, who visited Gallup a couple of times and brought her mission here.
Among things that are touched upon in the book are so-called Indian traders, typically not native, but how far out do you go in discussing that? I mean, there is an impact from, say, the Hubble Trading Post and that whole family, but you can't go everywhere that might impact on this area.
Right. And like Bob talked about, it was, our publisher set up the parameters for this book, how many profiles, how many photos, word count, so we had to work within that framework, and it was painful leaving out so many people. And we were, towards the end, we were sort of second guessing each other, and since it's been published, I've second guessed myself on some things, but there's too many people to include in here.
Elizabeth, what was your role in this process?
Like I said, Bob and I started out really doing a lot of brainstorming. So we came up with lists and lists and lists of people. I think we ended up with several hundred people. But in terms of the profiles, we divided it up pretty evenly. So we all wrote about a third. Carol and I did work on obtaining the photographs. And towards the end, I was sort of the main author editor because we wanted it to have a consistent voice throughout. So we didn't want to have the profiles sort of have a jarring difference between them. So after all of us submitted our profiles, then I went through and edited them and then sent them back, and then they would either approve them or make some changes, and then we submitted it to the publisher. So, I mean, I would say the work was pretty much divided evenly.
I would disagree with that. I would say I did less. And I would make a point of saying that Carol really helped shift this project from conceptual planning into actually doing the profiles and gathering the photos. And then I think Elizabeth really wrapped it all together in the end stages. So I got to do some things, but I was kind of along for the ride for the most part.
I was thinking this morning, I don't know if Carol will agree with this, but you know that expression of trying to herd cats? I think Bob and I were like a couple of cats at the beginning. We had all these lofty ideas, but we were coming up with all sorts of great ideas, but we weren't getting work done. So Carol stepped in, and she's like more deadline oriented, and she was like, "Okay, we have a deadline coming up, people."
And but so Elizabeth got it done. She got it done. She may be the college student who has to pull an all-nighter,
yeah,
but
I
she
did.
Got it done.
I pulled a lot of all-nighters towards the end.
What are the odds that eventually we might see a follow-up, more Legendary Locals, or a blog or vlog or something?
I don't know what Bob's working on, but it'll be a solo project.
Yes. Carol and I have retired.
Is there anything else that anyone in this room would like to share about the book, the process, or the love of local history?
Well, we've got an author's talk coming up on August 7th. At Octavia Fallon Public Library, 6:30 p.m. with book signing. And that's going to be a presentation of the book and an author's talk, followed by Tuesday, August 8th, at Art 123 Gallery, which is 123 West Cole. That's in conjunction with the ceremonial Best of Show exhibit from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m., followed by Wednesday, August 9th, out at Ceremonial for the preview night in the exhibit hall, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m., and then Saturday night, August 12th, during Arts Crawl, where we will be signing the books at Art 123 during Arts Crawl, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. So we'll be out and about.
I'm glad I got talked into doing this. It was a pain for all of us at times, just a chore and drudgery at times, but I'm glad we saw it through and were able to come out with it.
Me too.
I've been speaking with Elizabeth Harden Barola, Carol Sereth, and Bob Roseborough, authors of Legendary Locals of Gallup. I think the publication date is July 31st officially, but as you mentioned, book signing starting on Monday, August 7th. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.